Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Four panels, eight laces. Let's spin it around the park. What do you say, show?
I'm about it. I got great hands,
baby.
Come
on, baby. Houston Texans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. He spoke to the media today. Big year for him, man. He doesn't just have the offensive coordinator title. Bill O'Brien is on record at the combine this year saying, nope, Tim Kelly's going to call the plays. Tim Kelly's going to coach the quarterbacks. In fact, Tim Kelly's going to have an assistant quarterback coach, T.J. Yates. We heard from them all today. One thing that Tim Kelly did say, man, he hit on the new look wide receiver group that the Texans are going to have in 2020. Check this out. This is Kelly talking about the wide receivers.
With the wide receiver position, okay, we see a lot of talented players with a lot of experience that have come through and have made plays for people in big-time games. You look at Brandon Cooks, has played in two Super Bowls. Randall Cobb, you know, was constantly in the playoffs when he was with Green Bay. So you've got guys that have played and performed at a high level throughout their careers, and they bring a different style of playing the wide receiver position that we've seen here in the past couple of years. So we're really excited to be able to get those guys out on the grass and watch them run and watch them continue to build their relationship with Deshaun.
What jumps out of the radio right there to me, show, is very simple. He says this is a different style than what you've seen here in recent years. And when he says that, it rings a bell, man. And it's not about comparing DeAndre Hopkins to any of the guys that are in a Texans uniform this year. It's simply comparing the difference between how DeAndre Hopkins had success on the football field at the wide receiver position to how this current wide receiver group is going to have success and what they're going to do to have success at the wide receiver position on the field this year. And it's simple, man. These guys are absolute speed demons. Speed kills. Flat out, if you can run, you've got a huge advantage. And these guys have a huge advantage. I come across a stat, man. Average yards per touchdown catch since 2016. In order to be on this list, you had to at least have 15 touchdowns or more, right? So average yards per touchdown since 2016. It was your top 10. Number 7 was Kenny Stills, 30.2 yards per touchdown catch since 2016. Number 9, Brandon Cooks, 27 yards per touchdown since 2016. And remember, since that 2016 date, I believe he's been to two Super Bowls. So he wasn't playing versus a bunch of chumps when he was putting up that number. Number 10 on that list, Will Fuller, 26.8 yards per touchdown catch since 2016.
He was the worst of the group?
The worst of
and
the
I
group.
Think he's
he was
the best
10.
Deep threat.
Yeah, good point. I mean, when I look at this show, obviously speed kills, but what makes these guys special is, number one, they're deep threats. They're big play threats, and they're not just big play deep threats that can go get chunk yardage. They turn it into points, and speed is a big part of that. But where I believe these guys are going to be the most impressive as we watch them is that they know how to use their speed, man. They know how they all can run the route tree to perfection. Brandon Cooks is probably the best in terms of running the route tree, all the different routes that an offense has from the outside position. I'd go Brandon Cooks as number one. I'd go Will Fuller's a close number two, and then Kenny Stills is a distant three. These guys are not only fast, but they know how to set up defensive backs with their speed first and create opportunities for them to get open, which creates a clear picture for the quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who is a young quarterback who has to learn to get through his progressions better. He has to learn how to move on beyond his number one read in a particular scheme, get to two, get to three, get to four, and get the ball out. Those are things that he has to do. And these receivers, their ability, coupled with the fact that Randall Cobb is a technician with his routes, that in itself is going to allow Deshaun Watson to develop. It's going to allow Deshaun Watson to see things more clearly. And that is a huge advantage for this offense versus last year.
What I'm hearing from you, it sounds like from what you've said, Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus, their senior NFL analyst, has said, is that Deshaun Watson threw into a lot tighter windows last year. He threw into a lot tighter windows, and now by this game plan, hopefully if it's executed well, he'll have better windows to throw in, not as tight as spaces, not having to be perfect, and that just makes it easier on the quarterback and should make the game easier.
There's no doubt about it. Look, I mean, the DeAndre Hopkins as a receiver, and you, when you're quarterbacking him, you just get the guy, get the ball in his direction. Doesn't matter if he's covered, and he's going to go up and make the contested catch. This offense should provide far, far fewer contested catches. If Deshaun Watson's distributing the football the way that he should, there should be less contested catches, more pitching catches, and it should be a more efficient brand of football. We'll see what happens. I don't know that there's going to be a ton of success. If I were a betting man, I would say that with Deshaun Watson's development and the technique and the speed that these receivers have and know how to use, I would think you'll see a cleaner, more efficient style of offensive football, particularly from the receiving position and the quarterback position in 2020.
Wide 80.
Another guy that we heard from today, Houston, you may know him as a former Texans quarterback, and he's currently the Texans assistant quarterback coach, T.J. Yates. He's a guy that'll help with offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. When Tim Kelly does have to leave the room to go to address something in the wide receiver room or in the offensive line room, then T.J. Yates is a guy that you trust to continue watching film with the quarterbacks to give them a true viewpoint, opinion from a former quarterback's perspective. That's absolutely huge, man. One thing he hit on today, I'm going to talk about this as often as I get a chance to, man. I think Randall Cobb is just going to be a huge advantage. I think he's the biggest addition to this offense in the offseason. When it's all said and done, former quarterback has had a lot of success at the slot receiver position. Huge upgrade from Kiki QT just from an experience standpoint. Cobb is going to be a big-time weapon for Deshaun Watson. This is former Houston Texans quarterback T.J. Yates talking about Randall Cobb and what he brings to the table.
It's huge. Just as any position, whether it's tight end, whether it's slot receiver, whether it's guys on the outside, just the more a quarterback can feel comfortable knowing exactly where a guy's going to be on the exact time, exact timing, footwork, so he can let that ball go with anticipation. Those two guys being on the same page, and sometimes all it takes is like a nod of the head, and that's all the communication you're going to get between two guys that are veterans, that are pros, that put in the work before and after practice in the film room, just so they're always on the same page.
This is really good stuff because there's times last year, a lot of Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins' success with Deshaun Watson was literally the chemistry. They could nod the head, give one quick sign, boom. And they knew what the adjustment was going to be, and they were going to take advantage of that particular look. To have Randall Cobb in the slot to do those kinds of things, not when you see a big play, but when you see pressure. The national narrative with Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson is it's alarming how often the Texans offense does not have an answer for pressure. They got an answer now, show. It's called Randall Cobb.
And I listened to you speak about Randall Cobb, and I listened to other people speak about how important he can be. I bet the Texans just laugh about how hard people are coming at them about the contract they gave him, about the $9 million. I bet you they believe, just wait, when the season is over and you see how important he is, especially to what we like to do in the slot, you'll see, God, $9 million for a year for Randall Cobb with nothing.
Yeah, well, when you look at the situation, too, Show, let's be honest. I mean, you look at Bill O'Brien, he's cut from that New England cloth. Obviously, he's used to having a really good slot receiver, and you got to believe he's fed up with not having that, not being able to rely on that guy. And Randall Cobb is a slot that you can rely on at the very least. So not surprised that they paid him a little bread to go – maybe a little more bread than anybody else to come in here and be a Texan, but he's the answer that Bill O'Brien's been missing for the last few years.
Red 22. Hut, hut, hut.
We ain't through, baby. Them Texans, they all – the coaching staff, they all spoke today. Texans, defensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver. He spoke, man, and I'm telling you, Show, this guy continues to impress. Continues to impress. Listen to this exchange here. John McClain, the general, Hall of Famer, I call him Mad Dog. He came out of the gates with the first question for Anthony Weaver, and this is just – why you can't help but fall in love with Anthony Weaver and have unbelievably high expectations for this guy as a defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans.
As far as pressure is concerned, John, I don't really feel a ton of it. I know calling the plays will certainly be a new test for me, but it's one that I've been preparing for a long time. It certainly doesn't – it's not like not the pressure I faced running out of this true freshman at Notre Dame against the University of Michigan. Now, that was pressure because I was going to get smacked in the face by John Runyon. But so this is nothing. I can handle this. Knowing the roster is certainly an advantage. You know, having been around these guys, having relationships developed already, that's been a huge advantage. And, of course, having Romeo there lean on to assist whenever I have any questions is huge. So I'm blessed.
You got confidence, Show. You got confidence in Anthony Weaver.
Anytime you listen to him, he gets you. He sucks you right in.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a former player. He's been there. He's done it at the highest level. He literally, no moment is too big. No question is too difficult. I think a lot of times you hear assistants for the Texans under Bill O'Brien speak, and you can hear them tiptoeing around, scared of maybe answering a question or giving too much information. Every time I hear Anthony Weaver speak, he has zero concerns about any authority in the building. He is genuine. He's sincere. And that approach in today's game, in 2020, the former player, the genuine, sincere dude, the extremely confident guy that just is it's impossible to rattle this guy. In 2020, in the NFL in 2020, that is, you couldn't wire a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator better, in my opinion. Anthony Weaver is a huge advantage for the Texans this year, man.
Yeah, he's going to be enormous for them. At least it appears to be. At least it appears to be that way. There is an athlete in this city who is experiencing really unfair expectations, but it's the name of the game, and it is what his team needs. We'll tell you who that is coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Clint, sometimes life ain't fair, baby. And when you're playing big boy sports, Clint, life ain't fair, and the Astros are playing big boy sports. And tonight, Lance McCullers Jr. goes. And why I say life ain't fair? Lance, it's time for you to grow up fast. He has to be what Christian Javier was last night, if not better. He cannot have performances like he had last Friday, four innings and getting chased early from the game and giving up four earned runs like he did in the game. He has to be this team's Justin Verlander.
Yeah, that's the scary part of this thing is you got a guy coming off of Tommy John surgery, hadn't taken the mound in damn near 2 years, and you're hoping he can fill that three hole in the starting rotation behind yes. Greinke and Verlander. Now all of a sudden – early in spring training, he jumps Greinke and to the number two hole, and then Verlander gets hurt, and you're looking at him going, "Hey man, welcome back to the big leagues, my man. It's you're 2 years removed, but damn it, they got to have you as the ace." And yeah, you're right. I mean, here's the thing: I don't want to make more, about one start just because it's a shortened season. We understand the importance of every game, but ultimately, pitchers are going to struggle from time to time. But what can't happen for Lance McCullers is Christian Javier can't roll out there in essentially his second outing and pitch versus the Arizona Diamondbacks lineup and be damn near flawless and be, just the look in his eyes, he just appeared to be in complete command, not of just the football, but baseball, but every moment when he was on the diamond. And if you're McCullers, you can't trot out there the next night versus the same lineup and look overwhelmed by those guys that Christian Javier dominated the night before. You can't walk out there and struggle versus the same lineup that a rookie dominated the night before in any way, shape, or form. And so this is – everybody understands the pressure that McCullers is under to be the ace. And I think following up a guy like Christian Javier, he needs to have a big night.
No, for this team to make the playoffs, it's time for Lance McCullers. It's his time. It's unfair. It is completely unfair, but it is the reality of the situation for the Houston Astros. Lance McCullers has to be ace-like. He has got to be the game like Christian gave you yesterday, where they can take a deep breath, they can come out, and they're like, all right, we got Lance going tonight. We got our guy on the bump. We don't have the pressure as hitters that we feel like we got to put up seven, and we got to put up three early. We got to score early. Like, we can just settle in. Like, Altuve, who's making me eat bananas and damn hot sauce today, is not putting more pressure on himself.
I'm
coming
so
to the
excited!
Plate. George Springer, who is not putting more pressure on himself. Nope. This start, at least for Lance McCullers, whenever he comes, has to be it. He can't go like he did Friday, Clint. Four innings, six hits, four earned, four strikeouts, four walks. I mean, this is Josh territory, and 91 pitches in four innings. That can't be. You can't have them. I'm sorry, you just can't. You cannot have those type of performances, because Dusty has to depend on you.
Yeah.
He has to depend on you to get him at least six, damn it.
And this Diamondback lineup, I don't mean to beat up on Arizona. I know it's probably bad luck to beat up on the opponent too much before you play him or before the series ends. But look, this they're last in the league in runs scored. They've hit two home runs all year long. I mean, Christian Javier, a rookie, dominated him last night in his second outing. I mean, Lance McCullers, you got to be above going out there and struggling versus this lineup and the night after Christian Javier dominated. Here's the other thing, though, Show, is it seems like the command issue is really the problem, right? I mean, it's the four walks that stick out. I mean, to me, you take a guy that's got stuff like McCullers, and if he can command it, it's lock, stock, and barrel, man. I mean, this guy is going to be a problem for opposing lineups. You can't walk batters. You can't get loose with the command in Major League Baseball. It just simply can't happen. You may get away with it because the Astros lineup is so deadly. They're scoring six runs a game, and you got two of your big three hitting sub 200. The only one above 200 is Bregman, and he's a 209. I mean, they're finding a way to produce runs with the bottom of their lineup. And with guys outside, guys that aren't named Springer, Bregman, and Altuve, I don't know how the hell they're doing that, but they're doing it. And so you may get away with some sloppy command here or there, but Lance McCullers has got to show that he's above that problem versus this caliber of a lineup tonight.
Yeah, and his stuff is good enough to do it. His stuff, as you talked about, is right there, good enough to do it. It's unfair. But it is reality, man. He has to be the guy where Dusty can take a breath, the team can take a breath, and they don't have to put pressure all over themselves, because it's the only spot in the rotation right now that you have to look at and say, all right, I feel like I know I got somebody and I got a horse that can go tonight. And I think you made a great point. This Diamondbacks lineup, come on now. You got to shut these jokers down. And I hope that Christian Javier is creating some sort of a competition in the rotation. Like, you're right. Like, I feel like the athlete in you just really put yourself in Lance's position and saying, all right, he went out there and did that yesterday. I got to keep this going. And I think to the news that broke earlier, it's even bigger for Lance. The news that broke earlier that Brandon Bielak is now going to go into the rotation and that Josh James is out. The news of that, now that Bielak is now pitching on Thursday and pitching behind Lance McCullers, Lance, go win the series right now. We need a huge performance for you to not put any other pressure on the starter, on the starter tomorrow.
Yes.
Like, but this is what an ace does.
How bad would the look be if Christian Javier did what he did last night? McCullers goes out there and struggles, and then Bielak comes out tomorrow night and and handles business.
It just can't happen.
It just can't happen.
Just Lance.
When you think that with Dusty Baker, it can't get any worse. If that were to happen, he'd be like, "Damn, man, let me go back to Cali and sip on this wine."
Dusty would just have to say to himself, "Okay, the goal was to win the series, and we won the series. I guess no matter how the hell it happened, but we won the series. But Lance, please, come on, man." And I believe in him. Like, I believe Lance has the makeup and is good enough. And you know that last start was weighing on him. You know, he's got it because, I mean, they didn't have Mike Trout in that lineup. Like, he went through and struggled with a lineup with the Angels that wasn't great, who we saw Greinke the next day. They have a perfect game going in the sixth. So
I liked your voice.
I do. I love yours, too. I expect a lot from Lance McCullers tonight. But the other news we just talked about, if you're just missing here, Brandon Belak is now in the rotation. So the rotation now, let me try it here. Lance McCullers, Belak, Greinke, Javier, and Framber Valdez. That's the five right now. And Christian Javier has been the best pitcher of the bunch. He's thrown the most innings, has the best ERA, been the best pitcher of the bunch. But those are your starters right now. Josh James, who just didn't seem to have it as a starter, is down. And it's not a surprise.
I just wonder if – I know the Verlander and the Osuna injuries are – they just break your heart as an Astros fan. But when you look at it, I wonder if the fan base, you get Peacock back, you get Urquidy back, you get Presley rolling, you get Davinsky back, you know, get those guys back healthy and being a contributor. I wonder if there's still hope in the staff. You got James bouncing back down to middle relief. What Urquidy did last year in the playoffs, and that ain't going to turn your nose up at.
No.
What Greinke did last year in the World Series, that ain't going to turn your nose up now. I mean, my man should have had – he was on his way to having two dubs in a seven-game series when the other two studs on the squad, on the staff, weren't doing that.
They didn't have
two Ws. And so I just wonder if right now the compounding issues of all the injuries aren't beating folks down more than just a normal Verlander Osuna injury would.
No, yeah, man. I don't know.
Had Peacock out of the pen right now, and you had Presley and Davinsky healthy doing their thing, I
don't think so.
Your concerns are significantly less if you got those guys healthy. Urquidy is a starter. Your concern now, you're going, hey man, we got a good four.
You feel better, Clint, but your aspirations are World Series, right?
Yeah.
And you lose your ace, the most important player on the team, and Justin Verlander, and then you lose your closer when, you know, you had a lot of young pieces in the bullpen already. That hurts. Because I've seen this said a lot by a lot of people of, man, we went to Game 7 and lost the World Series with Verlander and Cole. And now the expectation is to do it again without either one of them and not replacing them. So maybe the playoffs part people, I think, would feel better about. But the aspirations for the World Series, I think it would still be the same.
I can't help but look at what this lineup's doing again. I mean,
and it's not whole.
They're producing six runs a game. And, look, I know that they didn't fare too well when the Dodgers were the only contender that they played when they came to town. But, man, putting up six runs a game – with your top three hitters, I say your top three hitters. Brantley's not one of them, and Correa's obviously crushing the rock. But between Bregman, Altuve, and Springer, I mean, those guys are hitting 200 or less. I mean, they've been disappointing to this point as a whole. I know Springer's catching fire, and he's got a ton of RBIs this past weekend. But when you look at it, the production of this offensive group, man, just seems like you got to take advantage of it, show.
No, and they're going to do their best. And like you said, they're not whole because Yordan Alvarez is not up here yet. Like, and you're talking about the guys that are there that haven't hit yet. Well, Alvarez isn't there, and he was one of the best players for this team and best hitters for this team last year. All right, coming up, Texans defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver, he addressed an injured player on his defense, a player that they need to get healthy because he could be crucial to this defense, and I eat a banana with hot sauce. That's all coming up next.
If the Astros want to shut people up, go out there, stick those baseballs and their baseballs and their bats where the sun doesn't shine.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Let's get it, show. Let's get it, baby. What you got?
Don't you break me out of this.
He's over at Sidetrack and little Kings of Leon rock and roll.
Go on, baby. I forgot about it.
Got just that banana and hot sauce going on.
I just wanted to make sure you were in a good mood.
My man's nervous. Come on, man. What you got over here,
Sean? Why did I add the hot sauce?
You was real cocky with it.
I was. I felt it. And we sitting in that meeting yesterday, and Jose Altuve went deep in the first. Oh, let's go. Let's go. Go ahead, bunt for a base, and I was hoping he bunt. Okay, I got it done. Let's go.
Hold on, so
didn't do a damn thing. You know how hot I was when George Springer struck out in the ninth? I said, come on, man. Just somebody else
just
get
give
on
me
base.
One more
get
shot.
Get on base somehow, some way. Coming up here in a little bit later on in this segment, I lost a bet. I'm a man of my word. I got to going, and God, when I get going, it's hard for me to stop, and I just need to shut up. But I made a bet. I said, I believe that Jose Altuve would get two hits. In last night's game, he led off with a homer and then did the damn thing the rest of the way. And I said, if he doesn't get two hits, I was stomping it. Baby, I eat a banana and then somehow talked myself into adding hot sauce to it.
Well, I think you were unhappy with my react. Like, you expected me to, like, when somebody eating a banana, be like, no way. I just kind of sat here and
thought.
I made you double down. I made you double down. You doubled down with the hot sauce.
A poker face, huh? He said to me in this break.
What a dumbass move that was. This is going to be fun.
He said in the break, I ain't going to let you. I ain't gonna let you get soft with that hot sauce.
You gonna eat that whole banana, and everybody's gonna have a nice amount of hot sauce. God. Cholula, baby, you know what that is?
Yeah, that is. Yeah,
it's that Cholula.
Cholula, it's my favorite.
My girl puts that on everything.
I love it. I hate these, obviously, we're in radio, is a banana. Hate them. Stupidest thing ever.
Hey, show, you don't have my banana?
Kiss my ass. all right. Before we get to that though. Defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver, he spoke about a very, very important player who is on the PUP list right now, should be ready when the season starts, but he spoke about Gerrion Conley, and many people probably won't hear that. Come on, show, important player? Gerrion Conley? What? He really is. We'll get into it, but this is Anthony Weaver on where Gerrion Conley is right now after his offseason surgery.
You know, I'm happy with the way our secondary is coming together. Gerrion, while he did have surgery, he is starting to feel better. And I know he's on PUP right now, but he's chomping at the bit to get back out there. Already coming up to me, asking about when we can watch film together so he can know what I'm thinking when I'm making play calls and things of that nature. But I'm very pleased with that unit.
Clint, he is low-key a pretty important piece on this team to determine what level of defense they're going to be.
Well, yeah, look, there's no doubt about it that he's it. I don't know how low key it is, show. I mean, especially when you look at right now, they haven't done a whole hell of a lot, and you got J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless up front. You've got Benardrick McKinney and Zach Cunningham at the second, the linebacker level. You got Justin Reed. You got Bradley Roby. You got pieces in place that are healthy and ready to get into camp. Over there right now, getting action in walkthroughs, getting action in conditioning, getting important time spent together with the team. And the one piece of the puzzle that I think is a key part of it is no doubt about it, Gerrion Conley. And he's a guy that I think he's got to solidify himself, to say the very least. I mean, he's obviously the number two corner on this football team right now. I think last year he showed flashes of being a really, really good number two corner. I don't want to put the cart before the horse and get too excited about Gerrion Conley because I didn't see a ton of games. You had a small sample size, but he's definitely gives you a reason to be confident in the secondary.
Okay, and watching Gerrion Conley, did it feel like from you the lack of not seeing what you wanted to see came from his ability and talent, or came from is not being familiar with the defense and what it is they wanted to do, and he was so new playing in the system.
Well, I don't think he did anything that gave me doubt. I just think I need to see more.
Okay.
But he did show, you look at what, I mean, this guy gets traded for a third round pick to the Oakland Raiders at the time, and it's the week of the Oakland Raiders game, and he comes in, and I can't remember if he started, but I know he played a lot, and I know in late in the game he made a big pass breakup, two big pass breakups in that game.
I remember those, were
critical, man. And you know, so to be able to come in, learn the defense, and jump in and play immediately, obviously that's impressive. Did he get beat from time to time? Sure. I mean, hell, they all do. But I just need to see more. I like what he brings to the table. I think the Texans giving up a third round pick for a former first round draft pick in Gerrion Conley is totally different than them acquiring Hargraves. You know, Hargraves is a guy that I'm just not real sure that he's got first round talent at this point in his career. Gerrion Conley appears to have first round talent, appears to be a guy that it may be his ceiling, may not, but I think his ceiling is at the very least a good number two corner in this league. And so just the fact that he's a number two corner, that in itself is important, right? And what you think of him is, and what you saw from him, that's really important. But think about what he allows other guys to do, right? I mean, think about what Gerrion Conley and Bradley Roby being your top two corners. Think about what that does for Lonnie Johnson.
That's big, yeah.
I mean, Lonnie Johnson is a second-round pick, yes, I understand. And everybody say, well, when you come in with a second-round pick, you expect that guy to play. I agree. I just don't know that a raw athlete like Lonnie Johnson is truly ready to be thrown out as a number two corner in this league right now. I don't know. The jury's still out, and I'm not real sure that he's not. I'm going to stick to my guns on this deal. I think that he is a better star player or a safety, and I think he ends up competing for those spots. I think that's ultimately where he ends up in this league. I could be wrong, but I think it's safe to say
they love him on the outside. Anthony Weaver has said that he likes him on the outside.
I think he's a good, depending on who's out there. I think he's a long, tall, fast corner, strong physical corner that gives you a real option. I can't think of what's the kid's name that the big wideout for Oakland.
The wideout
for Oakland they had last year.
Williams.
Gosh dang it, I can't think of the kid's name, but they were tight end heavy. In fact, they throw a lot of
Waller.
Waller was a tight end.
Oh, okay.
The receiver that they had, the big receiver. He's a big bodied guy that's not going to run away from you. He's not going to separate from a defender. So you need a bigger, more physical defensive back to man that kind of guy. The Williams kid with the Chargers, bigger body defensive back. So from a matchup standpoint, Lonnie Johnson gives you options. And this is where I'm going with it, is Gerrion Conley healthy and being the number two starter allows Anthony Weaver to use a guy like Lonnie Johnson in a way that he should be used, matchup situations, right? Safety, star position, rundowns where he can be the nickel defender and maybe blitz. I mean, it just really gives you an opportunity to use and bring Lonnie Johnson along slowly instead of stick him out there and go, we've got to have you be a really good number two receiver for the Houston Texans, number two defensive back for the Houston Texans. I just don't believe, I would not feel comfortable going into the season if Lonnie Johnson was the number two corner.
Well, we're discussing here the importance of Gerrion Conley. And he is, to me, I said low-key. Clint said he only think it's low-key. He is an important piece to this defense to take the next step. I think it's just a luxury to have. What's wrong with just saying, all right, we know we got somebody in Gerrion Conley who I feel comfortable can start on the outside. And now it doesn't force us to make him a need. To make Lonnie a have-to player, right? And he doesn't have to be that, especially after what we last saw him, to come in this year to think he has to be a guy. Now he's an addition and a toy that you can play with.
Well, he's not a Golly, a polished, experienced corner. Just that's what the hell he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is – Lonnie Johnson is – it's best for him, it's best for his career, and it's best for the Houston Texans if at this point in time they can use him as a Swiss Army knife. That is where Lonnie Johnson, in my opinion right now, I feel comfortable that Lonnie Johnson is going to make his money in this league as more of a Swiss Army knife type of guy. Now, if he turns it, if he proves to be more and be a true corner, good gosh, look out, because the sky's the limit, because that is a big, athletic, physical, strong corner. And if it works out to where he's athletic enough and agile enough and fleet of foot enough to be a true one corner in this league, that's going to be a hell of a corner, because he's got great size and loves to get physical. I believe right now he's a Swiss Army knife. He's a utility player, very valuable player at that position. And Gerrion Conley being healthy is going to allow the Texans to use him in that way.
It's huge, man. In this league, if you have two corners that you feel like can be solid, that you can do different things with, that you can, if you have Conley and you have Roby holding down the edges, that is huge for defenses. That is huge and gives coaches the ability and coordinates the ability to try stuff. There's some teams with the corners they have, Clint, they're not doing no all-out blitzes to leave them on islands. They can't afford to.
Well, the other thing with Lonnie Johnson in that role, in that more versatile role, is, again, with the kind of in the matchup category that I discussed earlier, is, you know, if a team comes in, like, let's say New England came in last year, and it's clear that Julian Edelman is where Tom Brady wants to go with the football 99% of the time, damn sure on third downs, right? And so on third down situations, you bump Lonnie Johnson outside on a N'Keal Harry, right, or a Mohamed Sanu, and you put Bradley Roby over Julian Edelman in the slot, and you lock down, take away the third down. Now you got Brady having to throw to receivers he's not comfortable with, that he's not familiar with, that he's only been with for a year, instead of a guy that he goes to the damn Kentucky Derby with every year.
He does.
I mean, that's to have the ability to do that is big, and that's what Gerrion Conley being healthy allows the Texans to do, is whether we're talking about matchups or we're talking about using Lonnie to his strengths, Gerrion Conley being healthy allows him to do that.
It's huge. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. So I lost a bet yesterday.
Yep.
And we'll get to it in the text line, and saying it, shut up and eat a banana. You're stalling is what the text line accused me of. I'm not stalling. We'll do it. I guess, Tyler, you have my cocky ass from last night, from yesterday, towards the end of the show. This was me yesterday really feeling good about Jose Altuve. I don't think that was me. Jose Altuve will get two hits tonight to help him snap out of it. And if he does not, I will eat a banana. And I hate bananas. I will eat a banana right here live. I'll even add a caveat. You could put hot sauce on it and I'll eat it. You could put some hot sauce on the banana. That's how confident I am in Jose Altuve.
That sounds terrible.
It's just, I don't know why I said that. Why add it?
I don't know why Tyler bought you such a little banana.
Thank God for him.
For everybody out there listening, show's good size, fella.
I'm a good size.
He's over here holding a little bitty nanner. You going to put a little Cholula on it?
Oh, my God.
Come on now. Don't be bashful with that. Just the tip. Just the tip. Come on, man.
Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
Oh, God, it tastes so bad.
I bet that tastes terrible.
Oh, my God.
My man is eating a banana.
I hate you, Jose.
He's eating a... He hates Jose Altuve.
I hate you, Jose.
He's got about a quarter of that banana choked down now. Let's add a little more hot sauce and put it on that flat end, too. Don't be letting it run down the damn side.
Come on, man.
There you go.
Have no compassion.
There you go. Come on. No, I got zero compassion.
Oh, look at his slip
down. Cocky show. Okay, he's got Cholula all over his damn leg. Oh, come on, big dog. Jose's over here killing my man. Hey, Tyler, can you play a Jose Altuve's home run from last night?
Shut up!
It was the only hit that he got. Can you got that in the system?
What an a-hole.
Big scam.
This is terrible, man.
I can smell the hot sauce.
I can taste it. That first inning, I didn't even think about it. It's over. He's getting another one.
Yeah, so everybody out there listening, Show lost a bet yesterday. He beat on the table. There you go. Get you another bite, Biggin. Get you another bite. Damn, he's got enough hot sauce. He's going to have heartburn. He's going to run through you like a goose, boy. Like mess through a goose. He lost a bet. He got real cocky yesterday over here on the show, and he thought he'd beat on the table. Talk about Altuve gets two hits. Said he'll eat a banana if he doesn't do it. And then he added, I'll put hot sauce on that banana. Well, he's about halfway through that nanner.
This is it, right? I'm done, right? I got to finish this.
If I were you and I was looking the way that your face is looking over this situation you put yourself in, I'd knock the rest of that banana out in one bite. There you go.
That's enough, right?
I'll let you slide. That's good.
I don't think I have one bite.
You were one night off, man. Altuve has a great career against the pitcher going tonight.
Shut up. You said he had a great average career last night. You said he's 380. He hit 380 against Bumgarner.
Well, the guy's going against tonight. He bats 545 against, so. That looks painful, man.
That was the bite right there that, like, if you ever doubted that Show didn't like bananas, like that bite he just took right there, he couldn't hold it back.
This is not a joke. I hate these damn things.
Honestly, is the Cholula helping at all for you? Do you hate bananas so much that it's helping a bit?
I hate you. That's what I hate.
His eyes are watering. Big boy eating something a little spicy gets that old forehead beaded up, gets him eyes watering.
I could kick Jose Altuve in his shins right now. That son of a bitch. Sorry, Mom.
Hey. What is it about bananas again that did you in on bananas?
When I saw the texture, I thought it was going to taste like a biscuit.
Hey, swallow that damn thing.
It does not
taste
like a biscuit.
Just so the listeners know, too, Clint is filming this on his phone, and we will definitely be posting this on all socials.
It's going to need to be spliced up a little bit.
I hate you. And tell your wife I feel strongly about my Josh Reddick feelings. And I want her to know it. The top stories, if I recover, that Houston needs to know. 5 o'clock fire coming up next. Turn my mic off.